Coming right up, Straight Talk with Art Levine. Our guest for the entire show tonight, State Senator Alan Lowenthal.
Opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of Charter Communications nor its sponsors. We recognize our obligation to present opposing points of view by responsible spokespersons. For information, please contact the director of the program.
She stands in the face of evil and will not lose hope or faith. America, the land of freedom, is still the home of the brave.
Straight Talk is brought to you in part by Southern California Edison. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison. The Press Telegram, your local news leader for over 100 years. And Laserfish, run smarter.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. Now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening. Welcome to Straight Talk. This is the first show of our new year. We welcome you back. Thanks for your loyal support this past year. We're very honored to have as our guest for the entire show tonight our State Senator Alan Lowenthal. Alan, welcome back to Straight Talk.
It's great to be back.
Alan represents the 27th Senatorial District, a whole bunch of cities. And
Right. Give
us an update from Sacramento. What's going on up there?
The budget and the lack of money. Really, what happened was, Art, when we left last August, when the session was over, we had a $4 billion reserve fund. By the beginning of this year, not only had that reserve fund been exhausted, but we were $3 to $4 billion in the hole for the current year, short on the current year, which runs until June 30th, and a projected $10 billion, Art, from July 1 on for the budget year. So we're $14 billion
short. Alan, how can a $4 billion surplus disappear and now a $14 billion, is it the economy?
Yes.
Tax receipts are less because of the mortgage crisis and housing and tax assessments?
Absolutely. Property taxes are down. People are not buying. We had the worst retail sales in the state in years in December. This is a nationwide phenomena. And it just keeps cascading. You're right that the impetus for this was the meltdown around the subprime. And we're still going through that. So, and that has caused people great fear and concern.
As understandably. So what is the strategy of the legislature to address this?
Well, the first strategy is what the governor did was to call us into a special session so that by March 1st, we can deal with the shortfall this year. How are we going to correct the money that we're short? Then we're going to...
The $4 billion,
the first four. Then we're going to continue on and continue our budget deliberations. The governor wants us to build upon the savings that we do in this current budget to see how they will be... work in the next year's
budget.
Well,
let's focus on that $4 billion. What are you going to do to create $4 billion? Are you going to cut spending, increase taxes? What's the direction? What's your sense of the legislature?
We're not going to increase taxes on right now.
You sound like a Republican.
Well, I'm... Maybe.
Don't the Democrats have a majority?
Yes, but in California, to increase taxes, you need a two-thirds vote
of
the
legislature,
and we don't have that.
Okay.
So let's just get that off the table. Not that we don't think that, or people...
So if you had your druthers, you would look at...
I would look at a balance.
They call it revenue enhancements,
right,
I guess.
The last time that Governor Wilson we went through a crisis like that, Governor Wilson said, we're going to split the baby in half, 50% taxes, 50% cuts. We don't have that option any longer. So we're going to look at what we can do. I believe that for this year, we're going to be able to get through by looking at all the unspent monies. We're holding hearings every year.
What do you mean unspent monies?
We allocate a tremendous... We have a budget of over $100 billion. And so...
So it's really only a 4% problem when you look at it
that way.
That's right.
That's all we have.
So it's not so bad.
Well, it's bad. It's not so bad. It's, 4%, you know,
4% sounds better than $4 billion.
That's right. But we want to look at all the monies that have not been spent this year and begin to say, if you haven't spent the money by now, you're not going to spend
it. It's use it or lose it time.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Art. It is going to be used.
I remember at the university, at near the end of the fiscal year, where we used to teach, I still teach.
That's right.
Suddenly some money would become available, and you had to spend it. So one year, we bought clocks. Every professor got a clock.
You had clocks in every office.
God forbid you should return any unspent money, then you don't get it for the next year because you have too much.
Hush, don't say that. This year, we're going to return all the unspent money. And we're going to look under every rock to see what has been unspent in past years also that's been passed on.
And you're going to suck that back
in? Suck all that back in.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing right now.
Okay.
And then we're going to look at possibly the governor is proposing a 10% cut across the board.
10% in everything?
Everything. And that's going to be for next year primarily. We're not going to have to do much of that 10% probably this year, but there's going to be some cuts this year on our spending.
Does the governor have a line item veto?
Yes.
So you can pass a budget and he can X out stuff?
Yes. But we need, again, a two-thirds vote to pass a budget.
Okay.
So all of our budgets in California are always bipartisan.
Two-thirds not only for a tax increase, but two-thirds for the budget.
Because you're passing, anytime you're spending any money of general fund money, you need a two-thirds vote.
Wow. Will this getting back the unspent money rise to the $4 billion cuts that you need?
Well, old unspent money in previous years, because sometimes we pass that money on from year to year, hoping that, you know, people say, well, I can't get the money, spend it this year, please reallocate it next year. We're going to sweep up all that. We think that will get approximately half the money of that. And then we're just going to look at what possible other kinds of cuts can be done.
You've been in the Assembly for many years, and now you're serving your second term
right,
as senator. How does this legislature compared to past ones?
Well, I can just say that right now we've never been so dominated by one theme, and that is it is a very difficult time that we're in.
It's less fun in bad times, isn't it, rather than good times where you can dole it out. Now you have to take it back.
I would agree with that, Art. That's a very astute observation.
Yeah.
It is always less fun when you
yeah.
have to, you know, cut back. But we're part of, you know, this is not just going on in California.
Right.
We're going through this at a nationwide level, and we're retrenching and really resetting priorities. I think what the legislature would like to do is to maybe use this as an opportunity also to look at other ways of doing business. You know, I personally think that, for example, in a lot of areas, such as corrections and health care, we can be doing more prevention work. And maybe this is a time that, you know, we spend so much money on incarceration that maybe we can be spent, you know, we have the highest incarceration rates in the nation.
That's outrageous. You know, a lot of people are in prison, particularly federal prison, for non-violent drug offenses. And it costs $50,000 a year to keep someone in prison, same as sending them to Harvard.
That's right.
And it's really a misallocation of resources
That's
with
right.
our drug laws.
That's right.
And are you guys going to take a look at our drug
That's
laws?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Wait, and look at Prop 36. That's where the people of California said that you have an option to go to drug court and to go through a rehabilitation program
yeah.
rather than go to prison. We're going to look at those. So we're
okay.
going to look at everything, and especially in how can we prevent some of these problems rather than paying on the back end, because that's really where we
are. Pay me now or pay me later.
That's right.
Amen to that. Well, we'll be continuing our discussion, and in the next segment, we'll talk about a very important subject, the Port of Long Beach and Allen's bill, Senate Bill 974. Stay with us.
Electricity is different from any other product we use. We can't store it. We must use it wisely, but can't do without it completely. And there's no substitute for this special form of energy that brings us light, comfort, and progress. That's why California needs new standards that can keep utilities strong, guard against another power crisis, and protect consumers from the kind of shortages that often affect other commodities. Because electricity is different.
The Port of Long Beach, one of the region's largest construction contractors, has work for businesses big and small. The SBE, or Small Business Enterprise Program, was established by the Board of Harbor Commissioners in 2004 to boost the local economy. Through this program, small businesses get a chance at big port contracts in the areas of construction, environmental consulting, engineering and architectural services, and more. To learn more, log on to www.polb.com or call 562-590-4146.
Let's unravel high-definition television. First of all, it's twice as sharp as regular TV, and prices have dropped dramatically. There's also tons to watch, like sports, movies, and concerts. You should see it on Panasonic's new 50-inch plasma display. You can check it out at Avid Electronics in Long Beach. What else are you going to do with your free time? Origami?
AccuFlex, a division of Laserfiche in Long Beach, provides high-volume document scanning and indexing, converting bulky paper files into retrievable documents.
AccuFlex has provided us with a system that enables reporters to access our database of news material. It gives us peace of mind to know we can put our trust and faith in AccuFlex and that they're helping us to preserve our history.
AccuFlex works with Laserfiche to provide document management solutions that help organizations run smarter.
We're back, continuing our conversation with State Senator Alan Lowenthal, who was, in fact, on the cover of the Straight Talk Reporter in the December issue. And, Alan, let's talk about the port for a second. The port used to be in your councilmanic district when you were city councilman. It's now in your senatorial district.
And it was in the assembly,
district, too. And a lot of discussion about the need for the port to focus on environmental concerns, clean air. And you've been, if your career stands for anything, it's been one of advocating cleaning up the air in the port, starting with the coal piles and going on.
Right.
So give us an update on your Bill 974, which has passed the Senate, pending in the Assembly. It would be a major factor here. Tell us what 974 does.
Well, 974 provides a revenue stream for air quality and for primarily grade separations for rail, and I'll explain what that means.
But 974 would put a $30 fee
on every container.
$15 for air quality, $15 for infrastructure.
And what it does is it complements what the ports have already done. We have to congratulate the ports and support the ports. They have now what they call a $35 fee for their clean truck program.
So each truck coming in, $35, plus $15 for containers.
Right. And that $15 for containers has to do with cleaning up, enhancing the capacity of the ports by building the Gerald Desmond Bridge. The
infrastructure.
Schulerheim. So we're about to create now, with the ports, both cleaner facilities with the clean trucks coming in and out of the ports, only clean trucks, and enhanced capacity. What 974 says is that statewide, as we clean the ports up and make the ports more effective, the rest of the regions, the rest of the state, has to also have revenue streams to clean up all the rail yards, the old locomotives, to engage, electrify the rail system, and make sure that money is available so that when people are trying to get across town, they're not stuck while these trains of 100 to 200 cars come by and they're just sitting there idling because there is no way to separate the highway from the rail.
So
that's what 974 does.
Great separation will reduce idling, which will help with air quality.
Right. So the object on 974 is to build infrastructure that, like great separations, that reduce pollution, and to take the $15 that's for air quality to replace the old locomotives, to put electrification in so that we can electrify the system, and to do cold ironing in the ports. And that's what it does.
Cold ironing means the ships use electricity when they're in port rather than burning dirty bunker fuel.
You see, this thing that scares us is that as we enhance the ports, and the ports have the clean port policy, and so will Oakland, that the rest of the system will be overloaded by this, and it will have a dirty system out there that will have old locomotives coming in and out, that the trucks that may not come to the ports will still be going back and forth. So this is the ongoing funding stream to make sure that the entire system is fixed.
Let me ask the bottom line question, because we know that trade continues to grow 6, 7, 8% a year. It's kind of like a locomotive, unstoppable. That's almost a given that international trade will continue to increase year by year. Will the mitigation measures that are funded by 974 and others be enough to offset the additional negative environmental impacts caused by the inevitable increase in trade?
Well, one of the things that's occurred over the last few years, I think I was part of it, the ports are part of it, the state now with the Air Resources Board, is to begin to set into place regulations and goals and standards that have to be met. And so what's happening is, right now, the state Air Resources Board is saying you got to also change all the trucks. You can't have it. They're also saying that you've got to clean up the locomotives. So what this 974 does is to provide the funding stream to meet these regulations.
Does 974 have standards
in
it?
Yes, 974 has the statewide standards that the Air Resources Board has set up now from the Clean Air Action Plan.
And what happens if they don't meet the standards?
Then they can only, the only projects that can be funded are those that reduce pollution.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Right.
Do you have a sense of comfort, and can you assure our viewers that two, three, 4 years from now, the air in this region will be cleaner than it is today?
As far as particulate matter is concerned, as far as the matters that deals with goods movement and the pollution that comes from these dirty trucks, it will be. However, to be really honest also, we have a huge problem also with global warming and carbon dioxide. And as a region, we produce a tremendous amount of carbon dioxide. This will not solve all those problems. There is much more that
but
we have
to do.
But as
far as stuff coming from the port and this, goods movement,
if we have a sustainable funding stream for air quality, and if the ports hold their tenants feet to the fire, and they clean up, and the ships and the federal government helps us with cleaning up these ships, we will be the cleanest ports in the world.
Okay, coming right up, the next segment, and we'll be talking about a number of important issues, including my favorite, redistricting reform, that doesn't seem to be going anywhere this session. We'll be right back.
Phil Trainees mixes California style with continental cuisine that includes fresh seafood from around the world. Since Phil is the chef, the menu has a wide variety of pastas, salads, soups, and appetizers that feature his unique personal touch. And the Italian-American signature dishes are simply beyond delicious. You never know who you're going to run into at Trainees, from the famous sports legends on the Wall of Fame to local celebrities having a drink at the bar. For the best fine dining experience, visit Phil Trainees.
At Performance Plus Tire, you'll find we carry Toyo tires. For over 50 years, Toyo has been a world leader in the development of high-quality tires. Optimum performance, safety, and a comfortable ride. That's what makes Toyo tires great. And now come into Performance Plus Tire for a great deal on these Toyo tires. Proxy's ST, Open Country AT, and Proxy's 4. Toyo tires, driven to perform. Come in today and we'll install new Toyo tires on your vehicle while you wait. Performance Plus Tire on Cherry Avenue, 1 mile north of the 405 in Long Beach.
Sometimes you just need a good lawyer. Sometimes life is complicated, unfair, or you may be wrongfully accused. Hi, I'm Rich Poland. I've been helping people in Long Beach for over 25 years. You've already taken me into your home. I'm on the back of your big phone book. I've helped your kids reach the table. I've even held the door open for you. The State Bar has certified me as a criminal law specialist. I'm here to help because sometimes you just need a good lawyer.
Welcome to Maury's of Naples. Maury's is a unique store specializing in wine, spirits, beers, gift baskets, gourmet foods, and European specialties. Upon entering, you'll encounter a vast selection and a staff that is more than willing to assist you. Take time to look around. You'll be amazed. Wine and beer tasting is held every week. Visit Morey's.com to get the latest information. Morey's of Naples, since 1938, where customer satisfaction is our top priority.
Continuing this great discussion with Senator Alan Lowenthal. Alan, health care, of course, is a big national issue, but we're trying to do something at the state level, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Health care is a casualty of the budget.
Yeah.
And that's really very sad, but because what happened was that over the Christmas break in December and January, the governor and the assembly kind of crafted a plan for moving us towards universal health care.
For the state of California.
For the state of California. And everyone was real excited. That plan then came to the Senate and went to the Senate Health Committee at the same time that the governor presented us with a $14 billion shortfall.
So, yeah,
and the senator said,
well, you
we can't do it.
California is often the precedent creating state. Things start here first and move east.
Right.
And it wouldn't be surprising to me that if any state was to the first, one of the first to have health care, universal health care, would be California.
Right. We have the outlines of a plan. Yeah. We just don't know how to fund
it. Let's talk about redistricting reform.
Yes.
My pet subject. I know you've carried the water on that and you've taken some heat for doing it. But I believe, and I know you believe, that one of the endemic problems in our legislature causing dysfunction and stalemate is caused by these gerrymandered districts where every district is safe for either the Republican or Democrat. So we have liberal Democrats in one set of districts, conservative Republicans, nothing in the middle, and logjam.
Right, and an inability to work across the aisle, an inability to form compromises, and that's what we have. And what happens is that both parties have demonstrated that they really don't want redistricting.
Absolutely.
Because they can protect their incumbents. And I'm very, very
now,
disappointed.
Now, the term limits were on the February 5th ballot, and that was supposed to be linked with redistricting reform, but it got cut.
Right.
But the governor has come out, and I just got a press release, that he is proposing a new redistricting reform plan.
Yeah, he is going to support a plan that Common Cause and the League of Women Voters will be setting forth and going out and collecting signatures. We have not seen all the specifics of that yet, but he is working with them.
Oh, it's going to be
in November. But it's really, it really was the legislature that should have put it out. Right now, that means that these groups have to raise a great deal of money. They have to get signatures. You know, it's going to cost them millions of dollars.
Well, I fully support it. The legislature and the parties are incapable of avoiding their obvious self-interest.
That's right.
In carving up safe districts.
That's exactly right.
I call it the Legislature Full Employment Act.
It is. I think it was really.
And in the last cycle, with only one exception, every contested congressional, state senate, and state assembly election, the incumbent got returned.
I couldn't have said it better.
So you're probably getting tired of carrying bills around to do something that's not going to happen.
No. I think that I'm going to still continue on with redistricting. It is now sitting, you know, the sad thing about the redistricting proposal was that it came out of the Senate with a 34-2 vote. That means that you need a two-thirds vote to put an initiative on the ballot. We had far more than two-thirds vote. It only needed 27 votes. It went to the Assembly. All they had to do was pass it. It would have been on the ballot. It could have been on the June ballot. It could be on the November ballot. The Assembly refused.
The leadership killed it.
They still kill it. As we speak today, they refuse to set it for a hearing.
Well, that's one of the things that gives a negative impression of our government and our legislature and our leaders to the people, and they're sick of it. They're really sick of it. Okay, Alan, you've been in the legislature how many years now?
I've been in the legislature now. I'm completing 10 years in the legislature.
10 years in the.
Very hard for me to believe, you know, that as a faculty member at Cal State Long Beach, a colleague of yours, you know, that was really what I loved to do. That I served my city, then on city council, went because it was an opening to the legislature, and that now I've served for 10 years in the legislature.
Wow.
Amazing.
And looking back on it, it must be satisfying, and it must be frustrating, and mixed bag.
I think all of those things it is, but in general, it's been very, very rewarding. I've had the opportunity, and I hope the ability, to educate my colleagues and to be educated myself, especially on issues of our district about pollution.
And as a psychologist, you were recognized for bringing people together and voted Legislator of the Year, so congratulations and thank you for your many years of work up there.
Thank you, Orr.
Okay, we'll be back with the remaining portions of Straight Talk after these messages.
Welcome to McKenna's on the Bay, where fine dining is complemented with a breathtaking view. McKenna's is a restaurant of incredible ambiance, providing service and cuisine with style, class, and romance. The menu offers a variety of appetizers, serious seafood, prime steaks, an oyster bar, and specialty entrees for either lunch or dinner. McKenna's on the Bay features patio dining, nightly entertainment, and two banquet facilities. No matter what your occasion, McKenna's on the Bay is like being on vacation. Join us today at McKenna's on the Bay.
Founded in 1976, Polly's Gourmet Coffee is Southern California's most complete gourmet coffee store. Polly's has the best tasting coffee, freshly roasted every day right in the store. Plus a wide selection of teas, an in-house bakery, espresso bar, patio dining, and more. We also offer Wi-Fi, free internet access for all of our customers. Our nationwide clientele agree when it comes to coffee, there's only one name to remember, Polly's. 4606 East 2nd Street, welcoming you into Belmont Shore.
Rib Company, we've been around for over 20 years for a lot of good reasons.
Our banquet and catering services.
Our takeout and delivery.
And our great commercials.
Food fit for a king.
Naples Rib Company, for a real meal and a family deal.
I love ribs! I love ribs!
So we don't do great commercials. Find out what we do best at Naples Rib Company.
Well, I've known Senator Lowenthal for over 30 years, 28 years as a colleague at Long Beach State, professor of psychology. Then, against my advice, he ran and won for city council, went on to have a distinguished career in the Assembly and now in the Senate, and really one of the best guys and gals up there, honest and trying to do the best for the people. And, Alan, it's good to have people like you in the legislature. I wish there were more like you. And any plans for the future?
I plan to run for re-election to the California State Senate this year, and I just hope to continue serving my community.
Very good. Well, thanks for again joining us on Straight Talk.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you all for being with us. Please join us next week for the next edition of our show. Good night, everyone.
Straight Talk has been brought to you by Southern California Edison, the Press Telegram, and Laserfish. And remember, Straight Talk is viewable worldwide 24/7 at StraightTalkTV.com.